They shackled the adults, even some of the elderly women, and threatened to indict them all for attempted murder. These broken promises and hostile actions on the part of the federal government certainly don't inspire the rest of us to leave the fragile security of our collective home. The ones who've stayed inside Mount Carmel are a core group of our leader David Koresh's extended family, plus some others. My close friend Julie Martinez and her five children decided to remain after hearing how the FBI treated those who'd gone out. The rest of us who have elected to stick it out with David to the end are an international group of men and women of various ages and nationalities, including Americans, Mexicans, Australians, Canadians, British, and one Israeli. We have no formal name for our community. If anyone asks, we just say we're students of the Bible. Branch Davidians, the name by which we've become known to an amazed world, really belongs to the splinter group of Seventh-day Adventists who lived in the Waco area for 50 years or so before David Koresh arrived on the scene and reorganized Mount Carmel. We are not, as the FBI and the fevered media claim, a crazy sect or cult led by a man they've dubbed the Sinful Messiah. Rather, we are a continuity in more than half a century of serious religious faith. We've long lived in peace with our neighbors. Above all, we have never threatened anyone. It's now 2 a.m. on a cold Monday morning, April 19th, 1993. I stand guard at the window over the front door to our building. A blanket covers the window to keep out the scouring winds and the dazzle of the lights. Lifting a corner to peer out, I see the bulky silhouettes of a pair of M60 tanks. With their bulldozer scoops and 30-foot-long booms, these combat engineering vehicles, as the feds call them, seem like prehistoric raptors in the dark, eager to chew our bones. Knowing that the function of their long snouts is to help the tanks snort tear gas into our home makes me shudder. My sense of dread is sharpened by glimpses of several Bradley fighting vehicles, small combat tanks, scurrying in the shadows beyond the glare. In the interval of silence between one high-amp speaker blast and another, an owl hoots. It's the first natural sound I've heard in weeks. Then I realize that the night birds are human. The agents besieging us are exchanging bird calls, signaling one another in the night. In these moments, I'm all too aware of the vulnerability of the stark, spare structure we dub the anthill. A rambling two- and three-story complex cobbled together out of salvaged lumber and cheap siding, Mount Carmel sits on a naked, flat plain 10 miles southeast of Waco. With unpainted walls and rooms without doors, the raw structure shudders whenever icy gusts sweep through. The FBI knows how flammable our wood-framed building is. It knows we've stacked bales of hay against some of the outside walls to protect us against gunfire. It knows that we've used Coleman lanterns, kerosene, and propane for light and heat since they cut off our electricity. It is aware that we're low on water, down to a couple of 8-ounce ladles per person per day. At one point, an FBI negotiator asked us if we had fire extinguishers, adding jokingly, "Somebody ought to buy some fire insurance." A child cries somewhere in the dark bowels of the building. It's one of the loneliest sounds I've ever heard. I think of my little stepdaughter, Serenity, sleeping beside her mother, Michelle, in the women's quarters on the second floor. Serenity and I are good pals. We love spending time together, chattering about everything under the sun. We're both Aquarians, and this past February we celebrated our birthdays, her 4th, my 24th. Alone at my post over the front door, I ask myself yet again, can the authorities really intend to endanger the lives of so many women and children in a violent assault? Another signal from the hostile darkness seems to whisper back, "Yes, we can." Steve Schneider, David Koresh's deputy, comes to check on me. "How's it going?" he asks. "Scary," I reply in understatement. "I have a feeling the feds will jump us tomorrow," Steve mutters. "They're making those weird bird calls, and all day long we've been hearing snatches of conversation on the FBI radio."